To the role, different players, different strokes. But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's got a seat to sow. Let your heart of hearts take you down the road.
We're back on WPTF at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina, Hamlin Road in Durham. And we're just, I don't know where Patrick went with his... His pink.
I think he's on the runway now.
Pink
he's
sweater. Lady just came in. He needs a pair of those pants. Those britches.
I need a pair of those pants for our Carolina Moonlight Gala.
Yeah, right?
There's always a
absolutely.
Floral theme. Those
yeah.
are fantastic.
I know. It'd be like a night blooming cirrus. You could.
Yeah.
You could see it. You could see it. I don't know where he went. I was going to discuss his outfit with him, but. Doug. Doug Spiro, pull up a chair over there, Doug. Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air, sir.
I just walked in the door.
Doug Spiro, ladies and gentlemen, is a retired professor at of communications at Meredith College. But before then, you had quite a radio escapade.
Yeah, radio and TV.
Yeah.
And it was 25 years in New York at NBC and CBS. At the beginning, off-air news jobs, and then they made the mistake of putting me on the air. And that lasted for quite some time. Started in radio at NBC on the radio network, and then they sent me into purgatory on the Imus in the Morning Show.
Don Imus's first newsman.
Yep, one of them, yeah.
One of them, yeah.
That's right.
Something we discussed off the air, but I don't know, how often have you talked about your disagreement with Don Imus live on the air?
Rarely, because I'm afraid of lawyers.
Oh, okay. Well, Rufus could defend you.
I'm here to protect you, my friend.
Okay, Rufus. No, but we had it out once, and it was on the air, and it wasn't pretty. It was ugly. It got into all the newspapers. I thought I was going to be fired, and I started packing up my office, and they called me into the general manager's office. Imus was sitting there, and I said, look, I'd rather take this standing up. And
there were some fisticuffs.
Yeah, to say the least. To say the least. And so I figured my career had come to a grinding halt. But the general manager, Perry Bascom, said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I was on the West Side Highway, and I was in the car with the windows open. It was a day in June, and people were screaming, laughing. I said, so you mean I'm not fired? He said, hell no, you've got the new newscast. Get ready for it. And Imus was sitting there, and he said, no hard feelings, baby, no hard feelings. And I said, I'll meet you outside in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. The only difference between you and me is you're funnier and you've got money.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, God rest his soul. He did have a long run.
And he was great. He was fabulous on the air, and he had some very funny people with him. And I know we're doing radio today, but I brought a brochure from WNBC in 1973. I need to show you guys.
I would love to see that.
Of the original news team.
I wanted to introduce you. Sammy, come over here. I want to introduce you.
Oh, hi, Sammy.
How are you this morning?
Hi, Doug. Nice to meet you.
Doug Spiro.
Yeah.
We've just been getting some NBC and CBS stories. You didn't. You aren't old enough to have worked with Arthur Godfrey.
No. But I'll tell you what. I had the aluminum company come to my house 20 years ago 20 years ago to do some hardy plank and some trim work, and it's like nothing ever happened since that. It's like new.
Yeah.
The work that they, I don't know how they can get repeat business because the stuff is so good when it goes in.
It is.
So you tell everybody, and then we do your neighbors. That's how we get repeat.
That's right. That's right. Why we want to see a sign in somebody's yard.
Yeah.
From it.
But I'm thrilled to be here today.
But that doesn't happen with every company.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to meet Mr. Rufus. I mean, he talks a little funny, but I think
he
it's
does.
Great,
you know? That's it. That's that West Side accent.
Well,
West Side Highway accent.
If you had a name like Rufus, which spell backwards is suffer, you might talk funny too.
But I feel like you left something out of the Don Imus story. What happened 2 hours later outside?
Yeah, did you? Y'all worked it out.
You can't
never
discuss?
Came to pass. Oh. That's the beauty of TV and radio in New York. You can swing out. You can go nuts 1 minute, and the next minute we're down in Hurley's having a drink.
Yeah. You know. Well, I mean, it became kind of a bit.
That's right.
On the air.
That's right.
I wanted to know what the falling out was about.
Oh, okay. Because he had a thing about people walking into the studio, the air studio, and
while he was on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, when he was on. And we had to come in with the carts, which had various reports and actualities on them, and the script for his engineer to follow. So he turned to me and he said, "You ever come in to this studio again when the light is on?" And this was on the air. And he said, "I'm going to kick your butt." So I proceeded to walk back out of the studio, count to 10. The light went back on, and I went back in. And then it all unfolded. The cart racks were flying. The security guys from downstairs
had to
come running up. And it was on, like.
I don't think I've ever witnessed a fight at our place. But it's a little rougher up there, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I would say so.
A lot bigger egos, for one thing.
So. That's never happened on the weekend, Gardner.
No. We don't fight.
No fisticuffs.
There's no arguments. There might be philosophical disagreements on horticulture.
The craziest thing is, I don't know anything about gardening. Nothing. I don't know how to grow grass, but I listen every week.
You know, I have heard that from a lot of people over the years.
Right.
It's just kind of... And then what a great compliment for you to listen. I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, and this guy could have been on in New York with me, no problem.
Wow.
No doubt.
Wow.
No doubt.
I know that people at home can't see this, but this is the last of the originals, 1973. I've got a brochure, and that's the entire news department at WNBC Radio when we were doing the Imus show.
What year is that?
And there I am.
1973.
73, right. And there I am, the young kid. There's Charlie McCord that wrote most of his stuff. Ladies and gentlemen at home, I'm sorry you can't see it, but
yeah,
it was really quite something, you know. And we
I'll
had a great
this.
Time. And from there, I went into television Channel 4 in New York, and I became assignment editor, then field producer, and then they put me on the air at Channel 4 as a reporter for about 7-8 years. And then we had a divorce, so I went to CBS 2 weeks later.
John Bohannon.
Yeah.
Jim Bohannon?
No, that's a different Bohannon.
Yeah, are they kin?
No.
Okay.
Nope, not at all.
How about that?
But, yeah, this was us, and we had a good news for
somebody with a pipe. Rufus used to smoke pipes. Very distinguished looking.
Yeah
Rufus, look at this guy smoking a pipe. He means business.
I thought you were talking about a galvanized pipe, and I thought...
No. Well, I mean, that could have been going on, too.
And now, who would ever figure, all these years later... I'm doing a local disc jockey show, Mike.
Yeah.
On WCOM in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, nonprofit, and
how wonderful for you to share with them.
Well, yeah, and we are all volunteers. Nobody gets paid a nickel, and we love it.
Oh,
and
wow.
You can't get it out of your system.
That's right.
You really can't.
Yep,
and they were so lucky.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, thank you.
Is that the one that's over by the Amante?
Well, we just moved into the new library building.
Oh, great.
In Carrboro.
Yeah.
And
I'm a member of the People's Republic of Carrboro.
Yeah, yeah, we're thrilled to be there. There's Charles Gibson. Oh, I'm sorry, Charles Gibson. Charles Osgood.
We had him in when we went back to CBS sometime in the 90s. He came up and originated his little vignettes. He did his typing and everything and voiced them from our studios.
One of the greatest guys I've ever worked with.
So nice. He was so nice, and he did a little thing for Ann Clapp and me for our 30th anniversary. And, handsome
again,
guy, look at you.
There I am.
Who are you talking to?
Thin, before I put on the 40 pounds, which I've since lost, thank God. And
well, you've waxed and grown strong. Yeah. That's the biblical phrase.
Right.
So who are you interviewing? Do you know?
Huh?
Who are you interviewing?
Oh, this was at a homicide story having to do with the mob. And
so were you on that beat? Were you on the crime beat?
Everything.
Oh, everything.
I was the Long Island correspondent for Channel 4 for about 10 years. And basically, we covered everything.
Did you know anybody in the mob? Did you have an association with anybody in the mob?
Or do
we don't call them that? We call them friends.
We certainly do.
You're getting close there, Mike.
Did you or do
I
you
I just
now?
Said mob.
Yeah.
Well, I have a client that has a few mob connections, and he's first time I ever talked to him. He was in protective services, and I said, "Hello, this is your attorney, Rufus Edmondson." He said, "Mr. Edmondson, I didn't kill nobody."
Now, this is a guy with a New Jersey,
Lucchese gang,
Lou Casey's,
yeah.
And he went to prison, and Rufus got him moved closer to his family here in North Carolina. His blood relatives. Yeah. So.
Well, it was about a 5-year period of getting him closer to Banner Elk in the prison system. He had been rejected by the North Carolina prison officials in the reciprocity area because they didn't want mafia guy. And I convinced some people that he wasn't going to harm anybody, and he wouldn't. He's just a nice guy and kill nobody.
Well, I covered Gotti extensively, and one day down in Howard Beach, his wife, Vicky, spit at me. And she said, in not the most flattering terms, "You're no Italian."
Whatever.
Oh, you said, "I'm Greek. I'm Greek."
Yep.
Well, Doug,
thank you
for coming by here.
I am thrilled to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, let me ask Doug one more question.
Sure.
I was always
he doesn't have to go.
Well, Imus, talk about his ranch for kids. He was sincere in that, right?
Oh, Imus?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a very good side to him. Yeah, yeah. And the ranch that he built for kids with cancer was, it was the real deal. So even people like Imus have some good.
Yeah.
And believe me, he had a lot of bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had a lot of bad.
Hey, wait. We'll talk about that when we get back. We got to take a break.
Thank you.
Here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayleigh here from the Aluminum Company of North Carolina.
You got somebody on the line.
We're back on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmondson. Dan Stern is with us, who's the director of horticulture at the Botanical Gardens in Chapel Hill, North Carolina Botanical Gardens. Paul McKenzie, retired extension agent with the Cooperative Extension Services here. And our buddy Doug Spiro is with us. Currently a disc jockey, former professor, former newsman with CBS and NBC, is here. And even though he doesn't know anything about gardening, he says. But that's okay. We were looking for we need to talk to Susan. Susan?
Yes, hello.
Hey, thank you so much for waiting. How can we help you?
Well, it's been very entertaining
today. Well...
Although I hadn't learned much about
gardening,
but.
I know. Well, it's just kind of, we're all over the place. We need some restraints or something.
Doug, she said she hadn't learned much. She was entertaining, but hadn't learned much.
I think she's talking about the whole show generally.
Oh, okay.
for all those gardeners, those patient folks who have been hanging on today for your show, I'd like to talk about beardless irises.
Beardless irises?
Does anybody know about beardless irises? And I'm talking
We got the director of horticulture of the Botanical Gardens kind of shaking his head. You hadn't heard that term?
Oh.
New to me. So which
iris that shave?
Clean shaven.
Clean shaven iris is what
we.
So have you seen one, or is someone purported to have one?
Well, as a matter of fact, we have one or some tables full available right now at the Arboretum, the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Rockford.
Oh, it's from the Irish Society. Susan, okay, and now I got it.
That Susan, you said.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so no, I Susan is with the Irish Society, and not the Irish, but the irises.
Well, Susan, you're talking about irises other than bearded irises, which are...
That's right.
Of course, gobs and gobs and gobs.
Yeah.
Wonderful things.
But these are just gems. If you have not grown any in your garden, please come down and let us talk to you about them. You might even buy one or two. We're talking about Louisiana irises.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Got some.
They're happy here.
In the swamps and bayous of Louisiana, and they thrive in our hot, wet weather during the summertime, and they bloom a little later at times or with the bearded irises.
Just
and so those are wonderful. Then we have also for sale Syrian irises. They grow here and make wonderful landscape plants. You don't have to be dug and divided as often as the bearded irises, which is a nice thing.
So y'all are having a plant sale today at the Arboretum?
And we'll be here until afternoon, so you better hustle on after you listen to another of Doug's stories.
Well, do I have time to get there? You're going close right at 12?
Everybody wants to hear more Doug stories. Huh?
Well, we'll be a little open after 12, if you'll promise to come.
Would you like Doug to come by and do 2 or 3 minutes with?
Certainly would. He is a draw.
Come by the Irish Society. Top billing.
So this is today at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum.
Yeah. Where at the Arboretum?
We're in the Ruby
yeah, McSwain.
I could tell that you were inside a building.
They're in the main building.
Kind of, we're losing your
Ruby
signal
McSwain,
here.
Ruby McSwain, right?
Ruby McSwain building, yeah.
In the first building here, room 5.
Okay.
And they're assigned to Rita.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have any variegated leaf varieties for sale?
I haven't seen any, but... Come on down.
All right. Well, Susan, thank you so much. Hope a lot of people come out.
I do.
Thank you so much. We always love talking to you. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. Oh, we're back, and I think. Yeah. Yep. I can see the light. Do you see the light? Yes, I do. We're back at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. I see Sammy, Hannah. I see Danny Newman. I'm looking for Patrick Day in his pink outfit. He promised to come over and describe what he was wearing today.
He looked sharp.
He looked great. He looked like he had just come off of...
I need to get some fashion tips.
Yeah, of Pebble Beach or something. Mm-hmm. But he's apparently in hiding. I don't know. Well, I do want to. If he comes, if you see him, well, how can we not see him?
Yeah.
We got Doug Sparrow over here doing entertainment on the side, and Doug has his own doing his own show over here. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. We'll talk to Billy Howell out at the State Farmers Market sometime around 10 o'clock. Rufus, I'll get you to interrogate him. Blaine is with us. Blaine, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Oh, this is Wayne.
Wayne, okay. Well, just think that I said Wayne.
I had to step out of the car for a moment, and I missed the ending of the saga of everyone dying in Mr. Rufus's class except him.
Rufus, recap. Rufus was not supposed to be here this morning. He was supposed to be at his 60th class reunion.
Appalachian High School, 1959.
You said 63.
And Doug.
Well, that was Carolina.
That was Carolina.
Okay.
They had to move it to a funeral home.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, we don't know. That's the mystery behind it.
Well, I received a notice that there was going to be a 1969 class reunion.
59.
And it would be held at the Daniel Boone Inn, and come as you are, pay at the door. I knew something might be up. And so about 3 days ago, I decided I'd make an inquiry about this lost cause.
Because you hadn't been getting communications.
I called the Daniel Boone Inn. They said, well, hell, I thought you were dead. And nobody even thought about that. Couldn't get a hold of the person that sent the email. So I have to assume that time has walked on.
That you're the last man standing.
The last Mohegan.
The reunion that never occurred.
Rufus's driver, a former SBI agent under Rufus Fatleg, was looking forward to eating fried chicken and the Daniel Boone.
Well, he was so disappointed when I said, we can't go, Fatleg. He said, well, I'll go anyway. Let's go eat at the Daniel Boone Inn. And Doug, the reason he was called Fatleg, one time he was driving me, and I fell asleep, which was I was wont to do in the warm car. And all of a sudden, I woke up, and this fat leg was there laying on me. I said, get that fat leg off of me. And thereupon, he became known as Fat Leg.
Goes
with that moniker.
So he was the most disappointed out of everybody, I think.
Oh, yeah. He wanted to go anyway.
That's the end of the story? There was no reunion?
I think there was an end some way or another in all respects.
Must be more than one Daniel Boone Inn.
This is a great mystery. Yeah, I think
Lost Colony, they've never decided yet where those people went.
So you need to put one of your investigators up, send them up there, Rufus.
The lost class of 1959.
Speaking of drivers, I heard a story that Governor Hodges' driver went with him to the Atlantic Beach area, and the driver had never been there. And when he got back, his friends asked him, what do you think of the Atlantic Ocean? He said, that's the biggest pond I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, me. Well, Wayne, does that pretty well wrap things up for you, or you got any other questions?
I guess so. I thought there was a trick at the end there.
No. As far as we know, I think we need the story behind the story, or the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say.
We'll work on that next week.
Yeah, we'll do some inquiries.
If I see a banner somewhere, I'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Class of 59.
Or 63, or...
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Whatever. All right. Well, thank you for taking my call, gentlemen.
Thank you, Wayne, for asking about that.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, boy. So,
they do serve a wonderful meal at the Daniel Boone Inn.
Oh, I know. They certainly fried chicken, all of that. Yeah.
Got your ham, biscuits.
Do you,
all you can eat, Doug. All you can eat.
Do you, or do you want to go up there after the show? Or?
Well, I'm only well enough alone. Yeah. I don't want to join the ranks of what might have been.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. We've got to find out about that. So Dan Stern is with us, director of horticulture at the Arboretum. This is a gardening show, by the way.
Oh, wait a minute.
So you've
wait.
Got a... Oh, now we got to take a break. Okay, well, that's wonderful. All right, we will talk about the plant sale coming up next week. That's a big deal here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener Open House for the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. It's 9:39. We're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener, and Paul McKenzie's with us, a retired Cooperative Extension Service member of good standing, and 25-year member of our crew here on the Weekend Gardener. Dan Stern is also with us, who is Director of Horticulture at the North Carolina Botanical Gardens. And, Dan, you have a plant sale that's coming on that everybody looks forward to.
Yeah, big event for us. It's next Saturday, Mike, the 27th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to have a sales floor full of southeastern native plants, grasses, ferns, perennials, flowering perennials, trees and shrubs, probably pushing 150 different species that we'll have available. Lots of staff on hand to help people pick out things that are going to grow well in their yard. And, you know, we always encourage people to grow southeastern natives because it's, you know, a great way to bring the ecosystem into your backyard. You put plants out there for pollinators, for wildlife, and really connect with, you know, the biodiversity in North Carolina. It's a fantastic way to do it. And we got lots of other events coming up this fall. I mentioned earlier we've got a family-friendly Nature Fest event coming up on the 18th of October from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. Great activity to bring young ones out and learn about nature and do some fun activities. And we're also doing our annual Sculpture in the Garden show right now, which is a three-month show. We've got over 60 pieces of sculpture sprinkled throughout the garden. Really beautiful artwork.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great show. Every year we got different artists participating in it. So it's a nice activity to sort of bring some new energy into the garden, particularly as we're sort of in this transition between summer flowers and fall color. It's a nice kind of shoulder season activity. And you know, it's an opportunity to kind of see the artwork through a different lens.
I want to ask you about a plant that I picked up over there last year.
Oh, yeah.
Queen of the Prairie.
What is it?
Queen of the Prairie.
A Queen of the Prairie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, magnificent. About 10 feet tall, big, huge, bushy, cotton-like bloom, sort of like Joe Pye weed, but more magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've got another name for it rather than Queen of the Prairie.
I like that name, Rufus.
Yeah. Am I telling you about a plant you don't know about?
No, it's a sound. I'm grasping for the Latin name on it. But,
oh, never mind. Never mind.
Well, you know Latin too, Rufus. You'd understand.
Yeah, weeny weighty wiki. and the best Latin phrase when somebody is running off at the mouth is just to say "res equilopiter." That means be quiet, stupid. You're showing off.
Stupid is in the Latin language?
Oh, yeah. Race
queen of the meadow?
Race ipsa loquitur.
Oh.
You Trochian?
Our Proverbs, he who holds his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles.
Is it Eutrochium fistulosum?
Fistulosum. Yeah, that maybe that's a common name that I not
so it's
with.
More spectacular than Joe Pye weed, huh?
Queen of the meadow.
I really like
I think
that.
So.
Queen of the meadow, maybe?
Queen of the prairie is what...
No, and that's a plant that will attract a lot of butterflies.
Do you have a picture there, Paul?
Oh, well, this is Queen
of the Prairie.
This is Queen of the Meadow. But it does look a lot like Joe Pye weed.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's
so it's
it.
Queen of the Meadow.
Queen of the Meadow.
Mine is a very light pink.
Mm-hmm.
And butterflies by scores.
Yep.
Just encasing it.
Wow.
Now, I was wanting to ask you guys earlier, as folks that are out in the garden a lot and enjoying nature, it seemed to me like the butterflies were late this year. They came in great numbers, but it happened, I want to say, a month later than usual. Just very maybe it's related to the weather patterns that we were
having. Maybe, because we had a cold spell in the spring.
But when they did come, they were, you know, all over that eutrochium and the Joe Piwi, the Eupatorium. Those were used to be in one genus. They've now split them out into two different genera. But, yeah, that's a great plant for pollinators.
Well, I think the best one of all is the Mexican sunflower. That's just...
for attracting butterflies.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and those are great. And we've got, you know, lantana and butterfly weed in our garden. And, you know, that's nice for being able to view butterflies. But adding some of the natives as well to your garden and landscape, there's a lot of the native species depend on the nectar from those native plants, or they depend on, you know, the plants for the larval feeding stage. And, you know, we've got something like 1,500 native bee species in North Carolina. And, you know, I think we have a responsibility as gardeners to provide habitat for them. And going out to the plant sale at the botanical garden and getting a couple of native plants just to add to your landscape, and this is the perfect time to plant all that stuff. Fall is for planting not just trees and shrubs, but a lot of your perennials as well.
Yeah.
So definitely worth your time.
I put a mic back over here with Doug Spiro because I know radio people, TV people like microphones. And I didn't want you to feel left out.
We want to hear more stories from
him. I didn't want you to feel left out because you're not a gardening enthusiast. There we go. How do you turn it on? There we go. Here we go.
Doug, you spell O-N-O-N.
So, yes. You've been out of this a long time,
haven't
you?
That's right. I have been. But the only plant that I'm familiar with is Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin.
Did you ever meet him?
No.
Also great for pollinators.
Oh, certainly. Absolutely. How about that? So I just didn't want you to feel
I've
left
met
out.
And covered probably 100 others.
Yeah, I bet they being in New York, all of the...
In New York, they all come through selling something.
All of the rock stores, and yep. I guess a lot of them were on with Imus.
Yeah, but I'm thrilled to be here, and thank you, gentlemen, for inviting me.
Yeah.
And my dad was an avid gardener, and I'm embarrassed to be his son.
You grew up on Long Island?
That's right.
Well, if that's the only reason, Doug, you're lucky.
Yeah, the rest of us, we got a lot of baggage here. No, I'm speaking for me.
Do you have a house?
He's got a house.
Yes.
And it has a yard around
it?
It's
a townhouse, and we've got about 30 inches by 30
inches. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that would tend
to be very careful of what I plant.
Are there plants there?
Yeah.
Well, then you're a gardener.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe, but we have landscapers, so yeah. I kind of supervise them.
There you go.
Maybe that puts me in the club.
I think it does.
It does.
Cut that,
for sure.
Trim that,
so
fix that.
Yeah. What did your dad, did he like vegetable gardening or just gardening in general?
Gardening in general.
Oh, nice.
Anything and everything. And he even worked part-time at Christmas time at a local florist because he just loved everything about it. And I was kind of like the odd one out.
Well, I'll tell you
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
We do a fair amount of container gardening at the Botanical Garden. Mm. In some of our display areas, we've got large terracotta pots and different containers. You can turn an old tire inside out and make a container out of it.
Wow.
But what we're trying to show people is that you can grow native plants and do some really beautiful gardening, you know, on your deck, on your patio. You know, you don't need a quarter of an acre, and it's one of those things where if you put the plants out there, the wildlife and the pollinators, they'll come find it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you know can't enjoy native plant gardening, you know, even if you don't have a yard in the quintessential way to put it in.
Well, I did hang a hanging plant 2 weeks ago.
There you go.
You are interested.
Yeah, that counts. Yeah.
Does that help? And I watered the thing, too.
You watered.
That helps. Right, that helps.
Right. You've met all the official qualifications.
You certainly have, Doug.
Well, I'm going to try to study up. I've been spending so much time studying Mr. Rufus' background. That's
a long-term thing now there.
I can talk about that, including the Watergate days. I have studied him inside out.
Oh,
my. Oh yeah.
Well, it was 53 years ago, on July the 23rd, Doug,
yep,
that I delivered the subpoena.
Not with those glasses on.
President Nixon. And I did a little foolish thing that day. When I carried it down there, Senator Ervin always used to carry one of those little pocket constitutions, and I had one in my pocket, and I read the subpoena, and standing there as a 31-year-old would do, and all of a sudden I thought, boy, I'm going to do something unusual here. I whipped out my little pocket constitution and said, I've heard it said you guys need one of these down here too. So I served not only a subpoena, but I served a little constitution.
Wow.
On President Nixon.
Wow.
Yeah. So Nixon was in the room.
Years ago.
He
had just passed through.
Okay. Yeah.
He felt like my class reunion.
Was Fred Buzzard, the White House attorney that you served at?
Well, his name is Leonard Garman.
Leonard Garman.
That's right. Yeah. And we were covering every step of that.
Yeah.
And I am totally familiar with Mr.
Oh,
Rufus.
My goodness.
And wow, what a career. What a background.
Yeah, man.
I've been a very blessed guy, Doug, to have been around Senator Sam Ervin. He was, how many people get so lucky? And I've always said, don't ever forget to thank the people who helped you get where you are. Because everybody in this world has had somebody who helped them get where they are and thank them. Mm-hmm. Thank them. And I thank Senator Ervin.
Well,
I learned more from him driving him around. I felt like driving Miss Daisy, driving Mr. Sam.
Yeah.
And I learned more driving him than I did in law school.
Yeah, Doug, Patrick, I just wanted to know about your outfit.
I wore this specifically just so I could have you comment on it.
It's beautiful. it's beautiful. I love it.
I appreciate it.
Pink quarter zip,
some floral print pants.
We got the floral print.
Hey, that's raspberry, man.
That's raspberry.
Is that raspberry?
So, yeah.
You're a very natty dresser. I like that.
I appreciate
very
it.
Much. And are you look like you're coming. I mentioned you look like you're coming off the Pebble Beach golf course.
You know what? I wish I were. That's not a joke. But this is my wife picks this out for me. She likes to dress me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Which I'm okay with.
Literally?
She done, she
I'm
done
okay
good.
With that.
Oh, let's don't get into that now.
Yeah.
I didn't say undressed.
She's got good taste.
She absolutely has good taste.
And I think you've got your priorities straight, right? Happy wife, happy life.
That is 100% accurate. Yeah.
So I don't know how much time we got here, but you need to tell us about this open house and all the great attributes of the Aluminum Company of North Carolina.
I think that this is the second time we've had it where we've done the giveaway of the Hardy Plank siding.
Yes, that's right.
It's a huge giveaway. So we're doing 2,000 square feet,
yep,
or 20 square of James Hardy siding fully installed on your house, which is that's enormous.
Incredible deal.
It is.
That's what people are putting on their houses now. We talked about the aluminum aspect, mm-hmm, the Aluminum Company of North Carolina.
How your name came to be.
Yeah, and that was, everybody bought aluminum siding.
Aluminum siding, aluminum gutters, aluminum windows. I hear it all the time. It's like, why are you guys still the Aluminum Company? I still remember Jeff saying, if we changed our name every time a new siding come out, we would be the vinyl company.
That's true. Right. That just would not work. Yeah,
it's a name that's an iconic name.
It is
it
iconic.
Is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, it's... A lot of companies change their names over the years, and you got to kind of be worried about if somebody's had three or four different names over 10 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by, my friend. And,
Thank you for being here.
So, they're playing music back at the station, so we got to go. We'll be back. You can hang around if you want to.
Be happy.
You should come out just to see his beautiful outfit mm-hmm, and to talk to Jeff Hoffman about bees, the beehives, here at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina for their open house. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF.